You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickard.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, we'll learn about the Wisconsin Chair Company, or as music historians know it, Paramount Records, a record label responsible for producing a huge catalog of legendary blues and jazz recordings.
First, we're getting a preview of tonight's presidential debate, the first of three showcasing the candidates in the general election this November.
Lester Holt, NBC Nightly News host, will moderate tonight's debate held at Hofstra University on Long Island. The debate begins at 8 p.m. Central. You can hear NPR coverage of the debate tonight here on Wisconsin Public Radio.
Mike Wagner joins us now for a preview of that debate. He's an associate professor of journalism and mass communication at UW-Madison. Mike, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
So I'm thinking about some of the words that have been used to describe the debate tonight. High stakes, historic, hyped. Given all that, how big a deal do you think this debate will be?
Well, it's a big deal in the fact that, you know, tens of millions of people are going to watch it, and they'll get to see Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump together for 90 minutes without breaks, talking about a lot of important issues about the future of the country. That's important. We have fewer and fewer water cooler moments now in our kind of fragmented media landscape, and so this is something that lots and lots of people are going to watch. It's not likely, based on the history of past presidential debates, that this will affect who wins in November, but it is an important opportunity for both candidates to lay their case out to the American people and to, you know, mix it up with each other about their ideas about the best way to organize our country.
You said it's not likely to affect who wins, but is this year different because the polls are so tight right now, because these two candidates are not very well liked and Donald Trump is a candidate that is unique in terms of who's come before him? Is this maybe a debate that could really matter?
I don't know. The argument for the debate mattering is, as you say, you know, both candidates are historically disliked by the electorate, and there are some constituencies that we might think of as naturals for the candidates where they haven't quite, you know, closed the deal. Some Republicans are still wavering on Donald Trump. Some younger liberals are still wavering on Hillary Clinton, and perhaps these debates can help these candidates either advance their agenda with those folks or continue to turn off those folks. And so it's possible that that could have some kind of effect. But usually, even in tight races like 4 years ago and 8 years ago and 12 years ago and 16 years ago, these debates might influence the polls a little bit in the short term, but tend not to be highly correlated with the result in the long term.
And in terms of what the candidates want to get done when they're up there tonight, they both have their own to-do list. And just listening to the NPR story that was on a few minutes ago, the idea there is that Donald Trump should appear presidential and measured and in control and ready to take over the White House on day one and be a president. And Hillary Clinton, the idea there, the expert was saying, was to be warm and to be more approachable and all of those sort of more human qualities. So who's got the tougher job tonight?
Well, I think that it's a common reflex in news coverage to take the narrative about the candidates and then try to put that narrative on top of the presidential debate and say, well, Hillary Clinton must have problems connecting with people. Well, maybe, but she's winning most of the polls across the country. And they might say Donald Trump must appear presidential, but the Republican primary electorate thought he was presidential enough to select him as their nominee. And so I'm not so sure that those narratives are really what the candidates have before them tonight in terms of what it is they need to do. They need to appeal to people who haven't yet decided what they're going to do in the election, and they need to motivate people who support them to make sure that they show up and vote. Those are two different things, and I'm not so sure they have a lot to do with warmth or appearing presidential.
So appealing to undecideds, you're saying job one for both of these people and getting them out to the polls. So how is that accomplished?
Well, I think, you know, typically we think about candidates trying to do that in a few different ways, focusing on issues that undecided voters might care about. A lot of undecided voters are people who have views that fit with one party on some issues and the other party on other issues. And so candidates have to find a way to appeal to those voters without turning off voters who are their core base, who are way more likely to turn out to vote in the first place. And so they need to find ways to show how issues that are very, very popular or issues that their party is viewed favorably on are things that that candidate will do a good job on once president. And so they want to highlight their ability to do the work. They want to highlight their record of accomplishment. They want to give these voters an opportunity to conclude that person can do it. And if they make that conclusion, they might be more likely to give their support to that candidate and show up for them on election day.
We're getting a preview of tonight's debate between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton with Mike Wagner, Associate Professor of Journalism and Mass Communication at UW-Madison. And let's talk about the moderator. This is a high-intensity job that Lester Holt has for tonight. What do you think is expected from him?
Everything. Right? You know, depending upon people's point of view, some people want Lester Holt to be a person who asks questions and keeps time and does nothing else. And others want Lester Holt to play a more active role in adjudicating factual disputes or calling out outright falsehoods. And so that's a high wire for a moderator to walk. Candy Crowley did this in one of the kind of public forum debates in the 2012 election, where citizens were there and asking questions, and they were debating Mitt Romney and President Obama about whether he had called Benghazi a terror attack or not. And Candy Crowley, you know, corrected Mitt Romney and said, well, he did say terrorism in the news conference, which he did. But it's also the case that some of the other things Romney had said in the answer were true about the length of time the White House took to walk back the idea that the attack was based on this videotape and other things like that. And so it's a high wire act for moderators because they're going to get criticized either way. I think the best thing to do would be is to be as prepared as possible by watching what the candidates have said and knowing what things they're saying out there that aren't true and being ready to say, we have evidence that that statement you just made isn't true and here's that evidence.
So you shooting think from that the Lester hip, Holt should fact check?
I think he should if he has the evidence in front of him. Shooting from the hip, going from your memory, I think is too big of a risk in this kind of environment. But when you have tens of millions of people watching something and somebody running for president says something and the moderator knows it's not true, they have an obligation to tell those viewers that it's not true.
I think it was the debate commission. I saw a tweet saying they weren't sure it was the role of the moderator to be Encyclopedia Britannica. So maybe he's getting a different set of advice than what you just said.
I'm sure he is. And another moderator for a later debate, Chris Wallace of Fox News, has said it's not his job to call balls and strikes. It's his job to ask questions. And so that's how Wallace views that job. You know, Candy Crowley wasn't asked to be a moderator this time around. Maybe, you know, that I mean, she's not working as a journalist in the way she was 4 years ago when she was a moderator for a debate. But you could certainly read into that perhaps if you wanted to. But, you know, I think if the evidence is incontrovertible and verifiable and you've got it in front of you as a moderator, it's better for the audience to know what's true and what isn't.
And recently, this has been another story attached to the debates coming up. Republican candidate again, Donald Trump, said that Lester Holt was a Democrat. Apparently, Holt is a registered Republican.
That's right.
And that story has been unfolding in tandem as the debate hype gets going. Is that going to play any part in what we hear tonight?
I think it makes it harder for the Trump campaign to say that Lester Holt was biased against them. One of Trump's spokeswomen said this morning that Trump wasn't lying because he just didn't know what party Lester Holt was in. And so I think a response to that might be, then why would you claim to be sure that he was a Democrat if you didn't know what party he was in, especially when it turns out that he's not one? But I think it makes it harder for the Trump campaign to say that they weren't treated fairly when they misidentified the party of the moderator, and the moderator actually is a member of the same party as Mr. Trump.
I'm seeing various takes on how we know whether someone is pulling out ahead or not. And one number I hear is that the first 10 minutes are important, that there might be a winner or at least an inclination towards someone inching ahead in those first 10 minutes. Do you agree? Is that kind of clutch time?
I don't know that the first 10 minutes matters for the viewers. I think it matters for the narrative in the post-debate analysis. And there's a lot of research that suggests what people say after the debate on television affects how people decide who won. And so hearing, just like in the post-game analysis of a football game, here's what the Packers did well or need to work on, comments about what candidates did and what worked can affect who won. And usually if you're getting ready to pull up live sound bites and do all that kind of analysis, you're going to pull from the early part of the debate because you need time to get it ready for the post-game analysis. And so I think it's important in that respect, but I don't think it's important for the viewers. Those who second screen and watch with the debate on Twitter will also be affected by what their friends and people they follow on Facebook or Twitter say about who's performing well and who's making mistakes.
And just briefly, Mike, you're watching this tonight with a bunch of students. Are you going to also be following it on Twitter? What are you expecting for yourself and for these students watching?
Right. I'll be at Union South at the Elections Research Center watching the debate. Anybody can come. And I'll be watching Twitter to see how people are pouncing on particular comments in terms of fact-checking, in terms of groups that might be upset by things that get said, and in terms of whether people who are in undecided groups, or groups of people who are more undecided than not, are leaning one way or the other.
Well, Mike, thanks a lot for joining us.
My pleasure.
That was Mike Wagner, Associate Professor of Journalism and Mass Communication at UW-Madison. And he was with us today to preview the first presidential debate, which begins tonight at 8 p.m. Central. And you can listen live on Wisconsin Public Radio.